Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today we are very excited to have a special guest, Leticia Rodriguez, who is the director of IFFD. Throughout the whole world. So, Leticia, could you please explain to us kind of your role and what that means to be the director of IFFD?
Great. I've been working for IFFD for almost 24 years now. And when I started working for IFFD, I didn't know anything about IFFD. I just stayed there because I was recently married. I didn't have a job. And they told me that it was something about the family. And I said, great, so I'm going to start working here. But then I saw what it was, and it was so amazing. It helped so many families all over the world that I said, I really have to stay here, right? I thought I was recently married. I said, probably I'm going to get pregnant, and I'm going to quit the job because I want to take care of my children. But then God had other plans, and it took me 3 years to get pregnant. So those 3 years was what I needed to fall in love with IFFD. Yeah. So from then on, when I got pregnant, I said, I don't want to leave the job. Yeah. So I want to ask Rafael Pitt. He was a father of 16 children. Can I work from home so I can keep doing this job? And he said, yeah, let's try how it works. And back then, nobody did remote working, right? But I was the one who started it. So it works super well. I am super happy, super in love with IFFD. And what we do is apply the case method that is used in business schools to the family life. And it helps so much to bring the mom and the father around in the family. Because back then, when they started it, it was all moms doing all the job. And they didn't have the advantages and the talents and the strength of the husbands. So we were missing one side of story and one part of strengths. And from then on, it is great to see how much better a family is when you have both, when you have mom and dad. And this is what IFFD is for, having mom and dad together for their children.
That's great. Okay. Okay. So you have the case method, which actually helps encourage communication, I think.
Yes.
Definitely. So when we talk about, we're here at the Family Enrichment Conference right now. So what is family enrichment? I know it's underneath that umbrella, but can you explain to our audience what family enrichment is? Because I know it has something to do with those case studies.
Exactly. So family enrichment is basically applying the case method to the family. And what we do is we teach parents how to use the case method, which is identifying facts, then identifying problems, and then going to solutions. And it looks simple, but it's not so simple. So many people are not able to see facts. They only see facts with a very subjective point of view. So that is what makes communication in marriage so difficult, because they are seeing facts from very different perspectives. So if we teach them, no, you at least have to agree on facts. If you agree on facts, your discussion is going to go so much better, and you are going to be able to grow to dig deeper into the problems. So you must agree on facts. You see, what are the facts here? The facts here are that this woman shouts once a week every time that she arrives from her work on Thursdays at 8, okay? Some people might say, this woman is always shouting. No, she's not always shouting. She only shouts on Thursdays at 8 when she arrives from her job, right? So it's not the same to be always shouting as to only shout. Maybe you think it's more than enough. It's too much. okay, that is a problem. It's too much shouting. Great, but at least the facts, you need to say that it's not the same to shout once a week than to shout always, okay? So then you move on to problems. And into problems, people don't have to agree. When you say, this is a problem for me, for example, my husband could say, for me, it is a problem that people arrive late. For me, it's not a big deal. I don't really care that people arrive late. But for my husband, it's a huge deal. So what I need to do is understand why he thinks that it is a big deal. So he thinks, I think it's a big deal because I think it's disrespectful with people's time. And then, I have never thought about that, right? So it's an opportunity for people to understand each other. So it's not, I think this is a problem. Great. Why do you think that is a problem? Please teach me. I want to know more, right? And this is not only done with your husband. So with the case method, what you do is you think about it yourself. Then you talk about it with your spouse. Then you talk about it with four other couples. And then you talk about it with 20 more couples. So your perspective keeps growing and growing, but little by little. So first you have your own thoughts, then you make them wider by talking with your spouse, who probably thinks opposite to you in so many things. And then you talk with other people and you see this thing that my husband sees that way, totally opposite to mine. There are so many other husbands or wives who think alike to my husband. So you say, oh, my husband is not so weird, or I am not so weird, because there are other people who think similar to me. So that is also very helpful. And then you go to the general session and you have 20 couples, 40 people saying different insights, and you say, wow, this is awesome. So it really gives you the opportunity in very little time to be exposed to so many different ways of seeing the world that is super enriching, so much more enriching than reading any book, really, because a book is great. It's a great work of research and everything from one person. But this is, you are exposed to 40 people who are living your same situation. All of them have children under 3. Or all of them have been married for less than 10 years, or all of them have teenagers, right? So we put them in a room, we give them a case with a situation that is similar to theirs, and let's start, right? And then also they learn to dig deeper into their problems and to find very creative and concrete solutions. And that is super helpful for them, because some people say, what is the solution? Well, you have to find your own solutions, right? Yeah. So if you learn to find your solutions, it's so much better than I from outside tell you what is the solution of your case. So much better than I give you the tools, and you and your husband, who are a great team, really think of the solutions, and you learn to do that by seeing other people do that. And you say, yeah, that's so creative. I had never thought about that solution. Yeah. And that's so concrete. We could really try that. Let's see if it works for us.
Yeah.
Right? So it's super helpful.
That's excellent. Yeah. And I love that it's based off of facts.
Yes.
You can't argue with facts.
Exactly. You cannot argue.
So then it's, you know, women who tend to be a little more emotional have to like actually refer back to the facts, and the men who are more like nitty gritty have to be, you know, more in line with like kind of those different perspectives that you're providing.
Absolutely. Because normally, of course, the husbands are more rational, the women are more emotional, and that is what makes it very difficult. And sometimes it's the other way around. Maybe the husband is very emotional, their wife is very rational. But it doesn't happen so often that both are super rational, right?
Yeah.
So if they were super rational, maybe this was not a huge deal to them. But most of the people have a huge deal because of this, because maybe it's not your husband that you have a difficulty with, but it's your children or your boss or your friends or your siblings, right? So it's always a very good tool for your life.
Yes. And this is every, like, this is throughout the world.
In the whole world. Study. So we are in 70 countries in all the 5 continents. So pretty much all America, North and South, all Europe, part of Asia, because obviously Russia is super big, but we are very few. We have very few people in Russia. China is super big, but we have very few people in China. But we are starting, you know. We have started the fire there. And in Australia, I have been there as well. Mm-hmm. In Africa, in 8 countries, in all the countries that they have freedom of education and everything. Mm-hmm. And then you can start with family enrichment.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the talks that you give to family enrichment is marriage the masterpiece of our lives. Can you go a little bit and explain us to us a little bit about
that? Yes. When I think about marriage, I think of a masterpiece, because a masterpiece for me inspires effort and inspires beauty. I think both are needed. Sometimes we think, oh, this is so beautiful. Most of the beautiful things need effort, have a lot of effort behind, right? Mm-hmm. So, and when you see a good marriage, there is a lot of effort behind it, right? So that's the first message that I always want to give in my talk. Then I always talk about the 5 love languages mm-hmm. of Gary Chapman. I'm very fond of him. I think many people have heard about the book. Not so many people have read the book, mm-hmm. and very few apply what they have learned about the 5 languages to their own lives. Mm-hmm. So what I help people is to identify their love language, because what I tell them is, if you have 1-2 top love languages out of the 5, mm-hmm. probably your husband or your spouse has other 2. This mm-hmm. is life, right? Mm-hmm. And what we tend to do is we like to, I am going to do to my husband what I would like him to do to me. But in this case, it doesn't apply. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, one of the love languages is affirmation words. I am affirmation words. Mm-hmm. I love to say encouraging words like, yeah, we're going to win. It's such mm-hmm. a sunny day. We are having such a good time. You look yeah. so pretty. Your dress is so nice, right? Mm-hmm. This is what I normally do. Mm-hmm. My husband, he's not affirmation words. Mm-hmm. So if I tell him, you are so good looking, you are such a good father, mm-hmm. he doesn't care. He doesn't care. So What I show in my talk is how we are emotional tanks, mm-hmm. and how if you want to fill your spouse's emotional tank, you need to speak his love language or her love language, right? Mm-hmm. So if my husband's love language is acts of service, so it's the kind of people who love to do favors to you there all the time. What do you need? Do you need a mess this in because you're not doing well, or do you need some rest? Can I do something so you feel better? This is my husband, right? Mm-hmm. Acts of service. So if I want him to feel my love, that I love him, I need to do acts of service mm-hmm. to him. So if he asks me to do a favor, he barely asked that. But when he asked me, Leti, could you do this for me? The first thing that I have to do that day is that particular favor for my husband. Mm-hmm. Because that is when he feels loved. Mm-hmm. And what we do is, if I, in the tank, right? I'm filling the tank. So if I tell him, you look so, so handsome, you are the best man in this world, blah, blah, blah. I always explain that it's like I use the top of the bottle and I fill it with water and I put it in the tank. Mm-hmm. But if he asks me to do him a favor, he says, Leti, I cannot run this errand. Could you run it for me today? And I say, yes, of course. what I do is I put the bottle and I fill it in, all the water in, right? So his love tank is absolutely full. So what I did with my husband is make a deal. So when you ask me for a favor, I'm going to do it. When I do it, you tell me you are the best woman in the whole wide world, right? Yeah. So, because I am affirmation words. So we have that deal, right? Mm-hmm. And it really works. It really works because people who have their emotional tank full are able to cope with so many difficulties in this life. Mm-hmm. And when you are married, you are going to overcome so many obstacles, mm-hmm. if you want to go all the way, right? Mm-hmm. So in 50 years, so many terrible things are going to happen. So if your love tank is full, it's going to be so much easier. Mm-hmm. The problem is that most people don't know this, and their love tank empties. And when it's absolutely empty, you are not able to do anything for that person anymore. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, I see many couples that are in that situation. I tell them, no worries, not a big deal. The situation right now is terrible, but you only need to fill his love tank. Mm-hmm. You fill his love tank, and when his love tank is filled, he's going to be able to love you back. So the first person that identifies the problem, we have a problem because right now we are hating each other, mm-hmm. starts filling the other's tank. And that is the way that then that can be filled. Mm-hmm. And then life is so much easier. And then, so that those are the five love languages. And then I use John Gottman's book on the 7 principles to make marriage work. Mm-hmm. I love that book. That book is not so well known as the 5 love languages. It's not so popular, but it's amazing research on marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So after studying couples for decades, the same couples, many couples in his love lab, and he ran tests, blood tests, urine tests, body language evaluation, then recording and watching the recording over and over again. Mm-hmm. After all this research, he came up with the conclusion that couples who live a happy marriage, they follow these 7 principles. Out of these 7 principles that are all great and I love them, mm-hmm. I normally focus on the 5th and the 6th, because he says that all the couples have only at the end of the day only 2 kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. Problems that are solvable, so that can be solved, and problems that are perpetual. So that cannot be solved for that particular couple, and are going to accompany that couple all through their marriage. And it's very impressive to see the percentage. When I talk about the percentage, do you know how what percentage of perpetual problems all the couples have? Not bad marriages, mm-hmm. good marriages that are happily married. How much? 69%
are unsolvable.
So two-thirds of the problems that any couple, bad or good couple, has are unsolvable. Wow. But knowing this is great, because sometimes you say, no, you know, I chose badly. I just chose badly. I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. No, you didn't make a mistake. You just chose a bag of unsolvable problems, mm-hmm. and you have to live with it. That's it. But you have one.
Yeah.
I have mine. She has hers. It doesn't matter. Each of us we have our bag of unsolvable problems. What you need to do is accept this. Accept, this is my bag of unsolvable problems. I accept it. I know that everyone has one, so why not me? And then solve your solvable problems. Because with the unsolvable problems, you can perfectly live as long as you are solving your solvable problems. So what is an example of an unsolvable problems? Depends on the couple. So many of them has to do with personality. So for example, I am a person who loves to make quick decisions. I have married to a man who loves to think things over and over and over, and it takes him ages to make a decision, right? This is a fact. This happens, right? And that is shown during the whole day, because it's like, what should we do? We should do this. I don't care. I mean, what I want is to make a quick decision. The quicker, the better. But he wants the best decision. But the best decision is not easy, right? You never are 100% sure that that is the best decision. So for me and my husband, that is a perpetual problem. After 23 years of marriage, we have accepted this. It took us 23 years of marriage, because at the first it was like, why do you have to choose so quick? Why does it have to take 3 years to choose a new sofa, right? So, but now I understand. I mean, he is like this. I am like that. It doesn't matter. You might as well learn that sometimes before making a decision, it's good to think about it, right? And he needs to learn, sometimes you need to make quick decisions. And sometimes you need to set a limit and say, okay, it's only going to take me 2 hours to choose in what restaurant we're going to eat lunch today. Okay, you only have 2 hours, okay? So you can take your time. You have 2 hours. But after 2 hours, whatever restaurant we are at, we have dinner there, right? Mm-hmm. So that is a perpetual problem. So perpetual problem doesn't have to be objectively important. Or no, it is important for me, because I hate it. You know, I really hate that. Oh, come on. Can we decide this in 5 minutes instead of 3 years? No, this is my perpetual problem. I chose it without knowing it. Mm-hmm. I preferred it to other perpetual problems, because the perpetual problems that I wouldn't stand, for example, I wouldn't stand, would be a husband who, when we are walking through the street, from time to time, he has a glance at another woman. He doesn't have to do anything terrible. Just a glance. I wouldn't stand that. And I know several of my friends have that kind of husband. And they are never unfaithful and nothing happens. But I couldn't stand that. I prefer 3 years to choose a sofa. So this is what I chose. And if I accept that, then it's going to be so much better. But the thing is, people start, I cannot stand it. I cannot stand this. This is terrible. I have chosen the worst. No, you have not chosen the worst. You have chosen those perpetual problems that you can cope with. You just have to accept them and work with the solvable problems. And also, a young gunman gives very good hints in order to solve solvable problems. Like, you need to be calm. If you are very heated, don't start a discussion. Just calm down. Only when you are calm down, you can start a discussion. And when you do that, you say, this is how I feel. This is what I see. This is, you're doing this to hurt me. So he gives very good hints on how to do that. And when I finish my talk, I always end up talking about my parents. I always say that I didn't learn how to love from Gary Chapman or John Gottman. I learned to love from my parents. And that when I was 20 years old, I was saying, I clearly saw, and I was dating my husband. I saw my parents, and I saw my mom is so much better than my father, right? Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And my father changed so much because all the love that he had received from my mom. Mm. I never cried during this. He gave it back. Mm. So he took care of my mom for 10 years, 15 years, super lovingly. And it was great. So we are given the opportunity to learn to love. Mm. Some learn earlier, some learn after.
Yeah.
And it is the greatest thing that we can teach to our children, mm-hmm. Our love,
yeah.
Because we learn to love from the love that our
yes.
mom and dad have. So
yes.
thank you so much. I have never cried talking about this. I'm always very good at not crying at this very moment.
So beautiful. No, I love yeah. that. And that goes into your masterpiece, you know?
Exactly.
That idea, that this whole thing.
So it's absolutely worth it when I say we are called to love. Mm-hmm. We are capable of loving, although people insist on telling us otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And it is absolutely worth it to love each other. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
that's our mission in life, to love each other.
That's beautiful. Wow. And just, I love how you brought in, thank you for bringing up the example of your parents, because I think that's a really beautiful point, you know, that you saw one side for, you know, majority of your life, and then you saw the other side, and I think
yeah.
that's so powerful. And when we think about these, what did you say, the unsolvable problems
yes.
or things like that, like I think we can go into marriage not
yeah, absolutely.
Seeing them or not understanding what they are.
Absolutely.
But then, and also like with couples who might not understand each other's love languages,
yes.
how would you encourage them to kind of maybe take that step into that direction of, okay, let's understand, let's start with love languages, because I know
yeah,
that's a big part.
Exactly. Too. Because love language, it's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy. You can see that. When I meet a person, I already, for me, it's super easy to see, is this a touch person?
Mm-hmm.
Touch is the people who need to touch. Mm-hmm. You know, they show their love, touching, being close,
mm-hmm.
Giving hugs, giving kisses, giving hands, but strong shaking, mm-hmm. you know? So, and then there is quality time, you know, mm-hmm. people who love to do things, but what they love to do with the people they love, right?
Yeah.
So my husband, for example, loves Iron Maiden. So heavy
yeah.
metal. Do I look like a heavy yeah. metal girl, right? But he doesn't look to just watch an Iron Maiden concert. He loves me to be with him for 3 hours watching the Iron Maiden concert. So I have changed my mind, and I am saying I'm not watching Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
I am loving my husband, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and this applies to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really so easy
mm-hmm.
for you to identify your love language and your husband's.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to say, okay, these are yours.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a deal.
Yeah.
And let's feel each other's tank, and we are going to be so much happier. It's so easy
mm-hmm.
to be so much happier. I also, of course, that applies to the children as well,
mm-hmm.
because children, it's not a temperament thing. They are not born with love languages. They learn love languages at home. So it's something that they learn. So I always talk about my family. We are 10 brothers and sisters from the same mom and the same dad,
mm-hmm.
and we learn. My mom and my dad, as it always happens, had two love languages and two love languages.
Mm.
And each of us learned one from my mom, one from my dad. So sometimes different, sometimes the same.
Mm.
And with my kids, it the same thing happens. So my children have learned one from dad, one from mom. So whenever Lucia, for example, she's my eldest, she's quality time. Mm-hmm. She tells me, Mommy, are you busy today? That means, Mommy, can you watch the K-drama with me for 1 hour? And I watch the K-drama with her. Because I am not watching a K-drama. I am loving my daughter, right? Mm-hmm. So really, it really changes lives. It's awesome. I mean, it's awesome. I am so happy for what Gary Chapman has done. Mm-hmm. So really, they are going to be so much happier if they apply this to their own lives.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that the kids learn.
Yes.
From their parents. Do you think that parents can change their love language to a certain degree, or do you think it's pretty set?
It's pretty set. I can learn other love languages. For example, mine were words of affirmation and physical touch. But now, because I am always trying to love my husband in his love languages, which are quality time and acts of service, I am learning that language. But it's like when you learn a language, when you have learned a language at home when you were two, you never forget that language. When you have learned a language when you are 20, you have an accent, right? So you are going to have an accent, but it's okay. You know, at least you're doing the effort. So it's nice. So of course you learn love languages, but you learn them better if you are aware. If you are not aware, it's not so easy. When you are little, you don't need to be aware. You just learn it. When you are older, you need to be aware to learn it. And sometimes it happens that, for example, in my family, I was very fortunate because I had a mom and a dad at home. When I travel all over the world, one of them, and I was last year in Canada, all over Canada, one of the women after my talk told me, I don't know, I don't feel identified with you know, I think I have all of them. And I said, no, you don't have all of them because I gave you a hug and your hug was not very strong. So I can identify touch, right? Because it's my love language. So, and then she came back to me and she said, I know I don't have two very strong love languages because my dad abandoned us. So I was raised by my two pair of grandparents and my mom. So that makes real sense because she was exposed to four different love languages, but not in the same intensity as I was. So that's why she felt like she had the five, but with less intensity. So of course, when you only have a single mom, you are exposed to two love languages, not to four. It's great when you are exposed to four because, it's so much better when you are exposed to Spanish, English, Arabic, and Chinese than when you are exposed to Spanish and English, right? It's simply better.
More exposure means easier to get along with other people, too.
Easily, much easier.
That's great. Okay. Awesome. And what would you say for our parents that listen to this podcast? Like, maybe the ones that are in the thick of it with those unsolvable issues. Do you have any advice for them who, you know, are like, do I disagree?
It doesn't matter. You didn't make a mistake. Everyone goes through this. Just accept them. You have accepted, you have chosen the right ones. We really make great decisions without being very conscious of it. We fall in love with people who are very compatible with us. Very different, but compatible. So I really married a man. I fell in love with a man who was totally different to me. And that happens to everyone. So back then, when I was in love, and this is a good trick, you only see what is similar to both. From then on, you start to see the differences. But it's great because otherwise you wouldn't marry him or her, right? But those differences are great. Differences create life. Life is created with the difference of a man and a woman. life is created with the difference of two different personalities, two different people, two different love languages, two different everything. Differences sometimes are hard to handle, but they are good. We can learn so much from differences. So I really think that is what he says, what Young Gunman says, is you have to become a dream detective. You need to see, why is it that your husband loves to take so long to make a decision? Or why is it that your husband loves to save money instead of expending money, right? Because there are other, for example, another problem that is many times perpetual is that she is an expender. She loves to expend money. It's like she's always on Amazon buying mm-hmm. things. And he hates it when money goes out of the bank, right? So if you like to spend money, and he likes to save money, but the difference is not huge, it is a solvable problem. You can say, okay, so don't look at the bank account. Don't worry, I'm not going to spend all the money. That's it, right? But when you marry someone who, for whom security in life is in the money, because he didn't have money when he was a child, he was very poor, and he's like, if I have money, then I'll be secure, I'll be comfortable. And you marry someone who's for other reasons is totally opposite, then you have a perpetual problem. For example, I know that is a problem that I wouldn't have chosen. So that is a perpetual problem I wouldn't have chosen. I couldn't be married to a man who needs to save so much, because I have a problem with that. Mm. My dad was a saver, and I have a kind of trauma with that, right? Mm. So I need to spend a little money. I am not an expender, no, but I need to spend a little money. So I'm okay with that. Not with a solvable problem. Mm-hmm. He likes to save more than me. Mm-hmm. I like to spend more than him, but we're okay, you know? Mm-hmm. Then some other people, it's like their sexual life, mm-hmm. because he would make love every day mm-hmm. and have sexual intimacy every day. And, you know, it's like a very big sacrifice for her to do it once a week or once a month. Mm-hmm. Right? So sometimes it is an unsolvable problem. Right? Of course, throughout your life, you're going to work on it. And 25 years from now, but it's going to take 25 years, it's not going to be so difficult. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's really long run. Mm-hmm. So we cannot be thinking, I'm going to solve this problem tomorrow or next week mm-hmm. or next year. It's going to take 25 years or some. When I was in Argentina, someone said, so I have a terrible mother-in-law, but she's a perpetual problem, but she can stop being a perpetual problem because she can die. She can pass away. And I said, no, she can die. She can pass away, but you cannot kill her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I won't kill her. Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes it's mother-in-laws yeah. that are terrible, or mm-hmm. fathers-in-laws, or sisters-in-law, or parenting. Sometimes your parenting styles are so, so different. Sometimes they're always different, mm-hmm. always, because you come from very different families. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the difference is so huge mm-hmm. that all your life you're going to have. You're going to struggle with that. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. The only thing your children need is for you to love each other. That's it. It doesn't matter if you think they could watch TV 3 hours a day mm-hmm. and he thinks they could never, ever in their life watch TV. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter. As long as you love each other. Mm-hmm. You respect each other. You love each other. Say we are made for each other mm-hmm. we are made for this family mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a beautiful example to your children too, to show the differences that you have.
Exactly.
And provide that as an example of it. It works.
Exactly. You know, it works. You can do this. You can do this.
That's great. Well, Leticia, thank you. Do you have any final words for our parents?
As I said before, what I really need to stress is that we are called to love. It is possible to love each other, and it's absolutely worth it to love each other. That's the only thing, the only real thing our children need from us, mm-hmm. that we love each other.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.